If you have your Bible, open your Bible to an Old Testament book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is a couple books past the book of Psalms. So if you go to the very middle of your Bible, you will find Isaiah a couple chapters after that. We don't go to Isaiah much. It's really a shame because it's a very powerful Old Testament book. And matter of fact, it's often called the fifth gospel. But I don't know how many of you have seen this picture. Can we have the picture up, guys? There's this picture that came out in 1948. Prince Charles was born in 1948, and he was christened. Matter of fact, it was December 1948, and he was christened. And there were all kinds of pictures, and this particular picture was found in a magazine. And if you look at it, you got grandparents and you got mom and dad looking down at the baby. And the caption of the magazine article was, "All eyes are on the baby," as if to say England was anxious for what this new king, Prince Charles, who's now king, would bring to their country. And as I think about the book of Isaiah, I would have to say that is a picture of what God's people were experiencing. You see, the book of Isaiah, the chapters 7 through 12, are all about the coming of the Messiah. And in chapters 7 through 9, you have in the Old Testament, the teaching that there would be this baby born who would change the world. And that's really what Christmas is all about. It's about the baby. Now, you need to understand, as you go to Isaiah chapter 9, that was a very difficult time in the world. It was about 732 B.C., and what had happened is that Israel had split into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And one of the things that was true of both kingdoms is they were corrupt. They were politically corrupt. The king of the north kingdom, Ahaz, was a very, very, very sorry king. As a matter of fact, we find that in the book of Kings, that he sacrificed one of his sons to the pagan god Molech. And so when the book of Isaiah is being preached, Isaiah the prophet is saying, "Hey guys, you're in trouble." And they knew they were in trouble. They knew that Assyria was coming. Assyria was a very, very pagan country, group of people. They were known for torture. They were known for completely wiping out the people in battle. And the Israelites knew that Assyria was about to attack. It was so bad spiritually and politically that the people were desperate. They were scared to death. Their political leaders were sorry. The culture was sorry. Sin was everywhere. The world was dark. They were scared to death. And then you have the prophet Isaiah say that they were so desperate that they were even consulting the dead to try to figure out what to do. Look, if you would, at chapter 8 of Isaiah. Just go to the very end of chapter 8. It was so bad at that time, the people were consulting the dead, trying to figure out what to do. It says in verse 19, "Someone may say to you, 'Let's ask mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do.' But shouldn't people ask God for guidance?" Isn't that interesting? Isaiah says, you're consulting the dead for information about what to do. And Isaiah says, but shouldn't you consult God? He goes on, "Should the living seek guidance from the dead? look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. They will go from one place to another weary and hungry. And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse the king and their God. They will look up to heaven and down at the earth. But wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown into darkness. If that doesn't describe the world we live in today, I don't know what else does. If you just look, and unfortunately I do this every day, in the morning and the evening, I check the news, and it is amazing to me what is going on in our world today, in the United States, in other places. It is dark. What is happening in politics is dark. What is happening in the lives of people in the United States and other countries, it's dark. I mean, it is a dark time. If you could sum up what it was like in Israel in 732 BC, it would be darkness. Everywhere you look, it is dark. People were starting to become depressed. They felt hopeless. They felt like there was nowhere else to turn to. They didn't know what they were going to do. And then you have this prophet named Isaiah, who comes and he says, listen, guys, all eyes on the baby. The baby to come. This baby that will come in the future will give us all hope. This baby will come and straighten what is broken. And the prophet Isaiah is talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. And you see, people, in the world today, we celebrate Christmas, we think, better than ever before, with lights and trees and gift givings and Santa Claus and all these different things. We think we've got it down, but the truth is, the world's dark. And the reason is because we're looking to the wrong people. There is no political leader that can lead us in the right direction. They can help, but our world will continue to go in a certain direction. But let me tell you what, keep your eye on the baby. Because this baby that is born will literally change your life. And when it changes your life, it gives you hope. It gives you hope for the world. It gives you hope for your kids. It gives you hope for your grandkids. So God's word to a weary, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and politically world, keep your eyes on the baby. So look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Listen to this. This is before Jesus is in the world, and the prophet is saying, keep your eyes on the baby. He says, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And then he says, you will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as the people, as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. And here's the good news. Get to the baby. Look to the baby. For a child is born to us, A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. At a time when the world was extremely dark, people were depressed, when there was no hope, the prophet Isaiah said, keep your eyes on the baby. And for you and me that are living in a world, and listen people, there's a lot of things to be concerned about. There's a lot of things that could rob you and me of hope. There are a lot of things that could make us depressed. But we need to understand, just like the people in the day of Isaiah, that God is saying to you and me at this time of the year, keep your eye on the baby. It's not a normal baby. And I want to give you a description that is found in these words from Isaiah about what this baby will do for your life. I checked the other day. Our world continues to increase year after year in suicide. People have no hope. People have no joy. That they get to the point in their life and they think there's no reason to live. That is so sad to me. Keep your eyes on the baby. You see, we find in verses 1 and 2, the first thing that we find about this baby whose name is Jesus, lights up the darkness. The Bible describes a world that is hopeless, a world that is immoral, a world that is destroying itself. It's described as darkness. And we find that he says that this baby is going to come into land, to the land of Galilee. This baby is going to be born and he's going to bring brightness. He's going to bring light to the darkness. And what's incredible to me about Isaiah chapter 9 verses 1 and 2, that we can find in Matthew where Jesus fulfills this prophecy. Look at Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is just beginning his ministry. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, it says this. Matthew 4:15, it says this. It says, in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. What is the light? If you look in verse 13, it's Jesus. Jesus begins his ministry. And when Jesus begins his ministry, he brings light to a dark world. And people, in our world today, we live in darkness. If you were to focus on all the negative things that are in our world today, if you were to think about how bad it is, which it is in a lot of ways, if you focus on those things, you will lose your hope, you will lose your joy, and you will start to feel like your world is dark. But if you will put your eyes on the baby, the baby who will grow up, live and die, and be resurrected from the dead for your sins, you have hope. You have light. As a matter of fact, I was reading in my Bible this week for my quiet time, and one of the verses that Jesus said in John chapter 8, Jesus spoke to the people once more, and here's what he said. Here's what Jesus says to you and me. He says, I am the light of the world. If your world is dark, you don't have the right light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then listen to what he says. If you follow me, Not if you know about me, if you follow me. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. You see, we do live in a very dark world. And you can go to a counselor. You can find someone to talk to. And all they can do is talk to you, maybe make you feel a little better. But if you want to get rid of the darkness in your life, the darkness in your heart, it's going to be Jesus who does that. You see, Jesus lights up the darkness. Nothing can do that besides Jesus Christ. That baby that came and lived and died is the one who removes the darkness in your life. So if your life is dark, if you're depressed, if you feel hopeless, you need to ask the question, who am I following? Who am I living for? Second thing, Jesus brings joy. This baby, look to the baby. People want to have joy in our world today. People back then wanted to have joy. And yet when they looked at their lives, they did not have joy. And the prophet Isaiah said, hey, this baby who's coming will bring joy to your life. He says, God will enlarge the nation of Israel and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as the people rejoice at the harvest. Now, if you think about that, I'm not a farmer. But if you're a farmer and you've planted and you've done all this work and it comes time to harvest your crop and go cash it in and make your money, and there's nothing there to harvest, that's depressing. But on the other hand, if you're a farmer and the harvest comes in and it's good, there's joy. You know, they used to joke in Louisiana that when the harvest was good, the farmers would go on vacation. And you know, a good harvest brings a lot of joy to a farmer. Go talk to them if they don't have a harvest. And the promise is this Jesus is going to bring joy. See, people are missing that. Religion doesn't bring joy, but a relationship with that baby can bring joy in your life. Even when you have nothing else, even when your life is falling apart, if you look to the baby, you can find joy. And look at this. He says, this baby will do what nobody else can do. He'll break the yoke of slavery. The Jews had been enslaved, and then they would get free, and then they would be enslaved again. And he said, no, this future baby is going to be a king, a Messiah. And not only will he bring a great harvest, he will break the yoke of slavery. And not only that, he will take all the weapons of war and he will burn them. You see, the future that we have to look forward, if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, is that someday all this war that is going on will end. But it will only end when a man named Jesus comes and destroys all the implements of war. You see, Jesus brings joy. I have hope for the future, not because of what I see now, but what I see in the future. You see, Jesus brings joy. At Christmas, we ought to be focused on the fact that he brings joy and he brings life. But the third thing is we need to understand he's not just an everyday baby. If you look at verse 6, it says this. It says in verse 6, for a child is born to us. Now here's the thing that just blows in my mind. Jesus did not begin in the manger, but he came into this world just like you did. He was born. His mother had him. He came into life just like you and me. And what that's saying is that he is fully human. Okay? One of the mysteries of Christmas is this. Jesus is fully human, but he's also fully God. You say, that's impossible. What kind of God do you want? Do you want a God that is possible because of your thinking, or do you want a God that is supernatural? Because look what he says. He says, for a child is born to us, and then he says, a son is given to us. A son is not the same age as a child. And what he's talking about, the prophet Isaiah is saying, this child is both man and God. Now see, I guarantee you, most Christians think that Jesus began in the manger. No, he didn't. You go back to John chapter 1 and it says, he was in the beginning. He was with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus has always been. But when we look in the scriptures, the prophet Isaiah is saying, hey, this baby is not your normal baby. He's fully man and he's fully God. And that's the miracle of Christmas. Would you want a baby that was just all human? No. Would you want a God that didn't understand humans? No. We have a child that is fully God and fully man. It's a miracle. So we have that. The fourth thing, get this. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Most of us think, a counselor, what is a counselor? I'm not talking about a counselor that you go to. Those can help you. But that's not the counselor that Isaiah is referring to in this verse. The term counselor is actually a military word that means a great planner. It's a military word that means that this baby that is going to be born into the world is a strategist. He's a planner. And what we see here is this baby named Jesus, and here's what you don't want to miss. He has the ability to fix your problems. This baby named Jesus has the ability to take your life that is a mess and provide a strategy that will work for your life. The problem is we don't consult the baby. Your life may be a mess right now. It may be because of something you've done. It might be because of something somebody else has done to you. But here's what I know. Put your eye on the baby because he has the strategy to fix your life. This is what is always so concerning to me. Why does it take so long for people to look to the Savior to figure out their problems? You see, he's a wonderful counselor. He's one that has a plan. Your marriage may be a wreck. Your finances may be a wreck. Your children may be a wreck. But he's got a strategy. It's just a matter of you talking to him and asking for the strategy. Why do we not go to the counselor? Why do we not say, Lord, teach me. Lord, show me. If you've got a hopeless situation in your life, you need to go to him. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Fifth thing, he's a mighty God. Not only is he a wonderful counselor, he's a powerful God. You see, the problems they had in their day could not be solved by just a man. They needed someone more than a man. They needed a mighty God. And one of the words that is used to describe Jesus is that he is a mighty God. He's a powerful God. He is a God that can come in there and defeat your enemies. They were worried. They were worried that the enemy was going to come in and rob them of their physical life, their jobs, their livelihoods, their family. They were worried to death. And that's when Isaiah said, you need to look to the baby because he's a mighty God. He has the ability to destroy your enemies. The greatest enemy that any of us have in this room this morning is death. Right? I mean, you know, the longer I live, the more I understand it. But here's the beautiful thing. Jesus is a mighty God. That means He can destroy death. He can defeat the problems that I have in my life. But I've got to trust Him. You see, at Christmas, it's just a little baby in the manger. At Christmas, we sing the songs, we give the gifts, and we never once look and go, man, that is the answer to my problems. He's a mighty God. He has the ability to destroy whatever might defeat you. The question is, who are you trusting? Who are you trusting? Jesus is a mighty God. Now here's the sixth thing. He is a everlasting Father. Do you know a lot of times back then that the king was called the Father because the king would take care of the problems of the people? This last week when I was writing this sermon and I was thinking about fathers, I thought about my own father that I miss incredibly. What did my father provide for me? Safety, care, unconditional love. You know, I thought about it. My dad had been there for every good thing and every difficult thing that I ever faced until he left this world. And to be quite honest, there are times in my life to now, I would love nothing more to talk to my dad about what I have faced, what I'm looking at. I can think of nothing better than talking to my dad about my grandsons. And just, I would love to hear him say, son, you got it made. When I think I have it rough. I understand what it's like to have a father, but an everlasting father? One that will never end? One who will always care for me? One who will always take care of me? Look to the baby. You see, people leave at Christmas time the baby in the manger. They sing about him, they talk about him, but they don't let him take over their lives. Whenever I get down, I talk to my heavenly father, but I'm very grateful for my earthly father. You see, this baby is an everlasting father. But then he also is the Prince of Peace. What do people need in our world? They want peace. They want peace on the earth. They want the war to be settled in Israel and everything to be good there. We want China to be our friend. We want Russia to be our... We all want peace, right? But why don't we begin with where He can give it? You know where He can give it? In your heart. He's called the Prince of Peace. You see, I find in my Bible in Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Savior, has done for us. You see, at this Christmas, do you see how crazy it is to celebrate Christmas and not have peace with God? To sing the songs, to give the gifts, hey, yeah, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and yet not have peace in your heart. How do you get that peace? You get it by faith. Faith in what He did for you and me. And so Isaiah says, hey, listen, look to the baby. He's the Prince of Peace. If you want peace in your life, it has to begin with Jesus. Now here's the good news. Once you accept Him, once you put your faith in Him, He gives you peace with Him. Listen, there's not a day goes by that I try to earn God's love. It's given to me. It's peace. Because I trust in Him. Now, here's the good news. There's coming a day, not now, there's coming a day where Jesus is going to come back and He's going to bring eternal peace. He's going to come and set up His kingdom. We will have no more war. We will have no more death. We will have no more difficulties. We'll be in the presence of the King, the Messiah. Look what it says. It says His government and its peace will never end. You know, peace ends usually when your leader dies. But there's coming a day where peace will never end. The government will be run by the Lord Jesus Christ. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of His ancestor David for all eternity. Eternity. Forever. And then it says, the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. In other words, we have the promise. We have the guarantee that God Himself will remove all war, all problems in the future. But for now, we just have to look to the baby and know the promise. Now, when I look at Christmas, all eyes are on the baby, but not as the Savior, not as the Messiah. And really, it's just a holiday, and at the end of Christmas, we'll pack up the decorations and put up the holiday, and the baby will have made no difference in our lives. So my question for you is two. One, have you ever trusted the baby? Have you ever put your faith in Jesus Christ? And then the second question is this. Do you need to start trusting Him with your problems? Again, I go back and I close with this. I was reading up a little bit about depression and suicide and hopelessness, and it's very strong during the month of December. For some people during this time of the year, it's the darkest time of their lives. And I thought, how strange, in a time where we sing about the baby and where we have it placed everywhere and talk about the baby, how often we don't have the peace of the baby or the joy of the baby or the light of the baby. And how someone could think that life was so dark that life would be better without me. That literally kills me. You see, I don't know what's hindering you this Christmas, but put your eyes on the baby. Don't just sing about it. Trust the baby. Don't live in darkness. It's a terrible way to live. All eyes on the baby. Let's pray. Father, I come to You, and I know many in this room are struggling. Struggling with life. And Father, they've tried everything. They've tried rituals. They've tried traditions. And Lord, the truth is, it's only the baby that can change their life. To put their faith in the baby who grew up, died on the cross for their sins, resurrected from the dead so they could have life. Lord, may we see You as our wonderful counselor, the one that has a plan to fix the messes we make. May we see You, dear Lord, as our everlasting Father, the one who's always there for us when we're struggling. May we see you as the Prince of Peace, the one who makes us right with you. Father, may we understand that you're a mighty God, that there's not a problem in this world that is bigger than you, and you can destroy anything if we just trust you. Lord, I pray for these teenagers, and I pray for the kids that we would teach them what it's all about. So many of them are living in darkness and walking in darkness, and the only light they'll ever have is the person of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to put our faith in him. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.